Today's episode is brought to you by Lufthansa. Time flies comfortably when you're enjoying every minute, every detail, and every little indulgence on your flight. Lufthansa. Nonstop you.
Watch out, business media. It turns out Twitter is a viable stock buying strategy. Steve Russolillo explains.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Federal Reserve policymakers meet Tuesday and Wednesday, the last such meeting this year, and they're expected to raise short-term interest rates for the first time in a year. According to the Wall Street Journal, research has shown that people who built their trading strategies based on what they read on Twitter before Fed meetings have been successful. Joining us with this research is Wall Street Journal ahead of the tape columnist Steve Russolillo. So, Steve, forget about watching the cable business channels right around Fed meeting time. You write that there might be value in reading Twitter posts before Fed days to gauge how stocks might react to the meeting?
It sounds nuts, doesn't it? And it's one of those things where I saw this research paper out there and I had to do a double take. I thought to myself, wait a minute, what? Are you kidding me? Read Twitter to figure out how the market is going to do? It just sounds so nuts. And yet that's why I found this so fascinating. So there are a couple of folks out at MIT Sloan School of Management who have been studying how the market does around Fed days. So again, we have a Fed, as you mentioned, we have a Fed meeting this week. There's a big one. The Fed is expected to raise interest rates. This would only be the second rate increase throughout this economic recovery. But they looked, in their research, they looked at how the market does around these Fed days and if there's any clues, any signals that they could get for Twitter from Twitter, specifically looking at the sentiment on Twitter. So how people, what people are saying and their mood, their tone about the Fed right before the Fed meeting. And so what they found was that there could be some value in it. So they used the time frame from 2007 to 2014. They scraped 3.9 million tweets. And in that time frame, they looked at tweets that specifically mentioned any of these four keywords: Fed, actually more than four, Fed, Federal Reserve, FOMC, and then the chairs at the time. So there was Bernanke and then Yellen. Right. So they looked for those keywords, found those keywords in the tweets, and basically gathered a collective sentiment ahead in the 24-hour period ahead of each meeting to see what people were saying about how they felt about the Fed and how they felt about the markets before that particular meeting.
And what were their conclusions?
So their conclusions were if sentiment was a little bit more negative than the baseline, than the average that they collected, that was a signal to short the market. Short the market in the immediate time frame right after the Fed announces its statement. If it was the opposite, if sentiment was a little bit more positive than what they had gleaned from their average, from their studies, they would say, okay, this is a signal to go long the market. Mm-hmm. And they found that more often than not, this strategy worked out. You'd outperform some typical buy and hold benchmarks. Now, listen, you and I don't have the capabilities to scrape through thousands and millions of tweets to try to gather something like this. But this is a business that a lot of people are trying to get into. A lot of, you know, you hear about all these big data firms out there and in particular trying to figure out new ways to measure sentiment, new ways to try to get an edge over another, whether it be on social media platforms or other types of information where you could try to get glean as much as you possibly can. And this is an example of that.
It sounds like the type of research that some people who are really into it might want to sell to traders.
Exactly, exactly. And so that's really the big thing here is that, you know, listen, this also comes at a time where from 2007 to 2014, obviously monetary policy took on extra importance, otherwise, you know, maybe compared to some other periods. And this is a time where the Fed was extremely accommodative to financial markets. And so I had another stat in my piece that looked at just how markets generally do around Fed days. And you get a very bullish bias around these days. And it's really not surprising in the sense that you've seen the Fed announce multiple rounds of quantitative easing. The Fed has kept rates low forever. Even when they do raise rates on Wednesday, it's still going to be a very low rate environment.
I'm speaking with Steve Russolillo about Twitter as a viable trading strategy, and this is Your Money Matters.
Today's episode is brought to you by OnePlus, maker of the new OnePlus 3T smartphone, the next generation of the year's best-reviewed phone. Featuring industry-leading processor speeds, 16-megapixel front and rear-facing camera, up to 128 gigabytes of storage, and a premium all-metal build. Plus, the OnePlus 3T has Dash Charge, an exclusive technology that sets a new benchmark in charging speeds. A quick half-hour charge will give you a full day's worth of battery life. Make it yours without a carrier contract at OnePlus.net.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm speaking with Steve Russolillo of The Wall Street Journal. Steve, isn't this the latest such research into social media platforms for tradable clues? Have there been other similar studies?
There have been. And, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that are getting into this space. One that comes to mind is Dataminer. And literally, they are just really just going through social media platforms to try to figure out where they can sort of get an edge. And then, as you pointed out, sell that edge. And that's their whole marketing strategy. So, you know, this is an area that if someone can really come in here and really make a difference and really find some clues, because look, let's talk about this for a second. I mean, and this is something that I talked to about with some of the guys that did this research. I said, most of the stuff on social media is garbage. How do you sift through that? And they said, yes, of course, they understand that by far the majority of posts that you see on Twitter or even on other social networks won't necessarily give you an edge one way or the other. It's the collective mindset, the collective sentiment that maybe you can try to glean something from. And that's what they found in their research.
The wisdom of Twitter crowds, is that what this refers to?
Yeah, that's the title of their paper.
Right.
And, you know, it's, I mean, I'm on Twitter a lot, and I think a lot of, you know, a lot of my colleagues are, and we see a lot of people on it, and you see that there certainly is a lot of junk out there. But at the same time, though, I mean, this is with anything. I mean, we have to think back to, there have been investor sentiment surveys that have been collected for years, for decades at this point. You know, one of the popular ones we follow is the AAII. That's the American Association of Individual Investors. Uh-huh. And they poll their clients every week, and you get a reading on it, and that reading, people have looked at this survey for decades to try to glean information about where the market is headed next. This is just a variation of that. This is now virtual as opposed to reality, well, but it's just another way to measure that collective wisdom.
Was that successful, the AAII, and did...
Well, the one thing that's really interesting about that is that's a great... contrarian viewpoint of the market. So when the crowd gets really bullish in AAII, that's typically a time that says that the market is peaking and the market is poised for reverse and vice versa. So March 2009, actually people got so pessimistic. It was like the most pessimistic reading that their survey ever had. That, of course, proved to be the bottom of the big bear market, and the market has been up ever since. So I think you're seeing a similar mindset here in this Twitter study, in the sense that once people move one way or the other, too bullish, too bearish, there could be value in that.
Didn't the Fed itself conduct research, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, on this similar topic?
Exactly. Yeah. And so they looked, actually, they had another great study looking at how the market has performed on Fed days from 1994 to 2011, and found that if you just invested in the market in the day, in the 24-hour period around those Fed days, you would have made a lot of money. You would have made about 80% of the return of the market that collectively in that time frame, with the other 20% being all the other days combined. So, you know, again, history isn't necessarily a prelude to what's going to happen in the future, but historical perspective certainly is warranted, particularly as we have a big Fed meeting coming up here.
So this Fed study, investing in just S&P 500 stocks, was that what this was about? This Federal Reserve Bank of New York study?
Yeah, that just looked at how the S&P 500 performed. So yeah, just looked at the collective performance of the index as a whole.
Yeah. Wall Street Journal reporter Steve Russolillo. He's the head of the Tape columnist. Thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thank you for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
For more podcasts, check us out at wsj.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.